The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Now for your lunchtime doctor, your favorite doctor's program right here on the Freedom 106.5 FM. We're also going to be heard on Vibe City 105 FM, Sangit 106.1, and Sky 99.5. It's been a while. Good afternoon, Doc.
Welcome back, Bass. Good afternoon, everyone.
Like, I forget how to work this thing, Mike.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back, Base.
Thank you.
Little reintegration there. That's okay. Murphy Law always kind of plays. Mm-hmm. But we're here, Dr. Mohammed here, your lunchtime doctor, here to answer your medical concerns. Keep in mind, tomorrow we're there live, Superfarm Valcine. From 12 to 1, we're there to answer all your questions. We're always grateful for that interaction. Last time, there were persons all the way from Komoto coming to Trincity just to be able to have that engagement. So tomorrow is definitely going to be just as impacting. Join us at Superfarm Valcine for your live lunchtime doctor.
Nice, beautiful. Looking forward to that tomorrow, right? So come on out, folks. Be there from early o'clock, 12 to 1, we inside. Of course, our numbers are 627-3223, 625-2257. Feel free to WhatsApp us at 306-1065, and you could forward your messages to our other frequencies, and they will forward it to us right here. What's on the plate for today, Doctor?
Now, as we just mentioned, Murphy's Law, and we always talk about stress. Tomorrow is actually designated World Mental Health Day.
All right.
In fact, the numbers post-pandemic is a little petrifying, as in World Health Organization has said that the unfortunate case of suicide is up on the lead, especially among 15 to 19 year olds, our adolescent. Some of our adolescents, the parents in particular, their presentations may go undiagnosed or untreated. So this week, we're going to put that special attention to our emotional health, our cognitive health. Because the same way we put the attention to our physical health, when the bones creak and cause pain, we give it attention. When our sugars go high or low, we give it attention. So too, we must pay attention to our cognitive health, our mental health.
All right. So we saw some calls coming in there. 627-3223, 625-2257. Let's get our first call for the afternoon. 627-3223, 625-2257 for all of your medical questions right here on the Lunchtime Doctor Show. Let's take it. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. Mm-hmm. Good day, Doctor Mohammed and BSU. Doc, I have a problem, right? No, my problem is that I have been diagnosed with lupus, right? They give me 3 sort of tablets to take, hydroxychloroquine or something, so, and some meds or something, and another one. I have to take one of them, 3 tablets every week. Like, if I take it today, I have to take it next week, Monday. The other two, I have to take one a day. Now, I am visually impaired, so I don't really know how long this problem has been going on me. No, I get an itch in my back. Not in my back, I mean in my inner. And my sister told me some days ago that she had seen some blood, like a passing blood. What I want to know is now, about 20 years ago, I suffered with spies, like a spies. You know, if it is recurring, or what is going on? Can you give me some indication of what it is? If it is tablets or what it is? Now, I have to go back to rheumatologist next week. So I intend to ask them that too. But I just want to get some friends from you.
Thank you so very much for calling in. Lupus, SLE, is something that we don't talk about enough. So I'm really glad you shared that. And my heart goes out to some of these concerns that you're experiencing. So let's jump straight in. Let's talk first about those medications. Methotrexate, hydroxychloroquine. Those are 2 of your 3 medications that you mentioned. And it's so important that we pay attention to the time frame or the regimen of it. Some we have to take every day, some is an alternate time frame, every week, every 2 weeks, etc. What I would suggest is put a little piece of paper up on your fridge where other persons can also see, in case you may fall short on when those medications come in. Put a reminder on the phone even. Let someone who, because you did say you're visually impaired, let someone who have a little bit more attention to detail to put those reminders in so that you can better be assisted. Let's chat a little bit about that symptom you experience, passing blood from the back passage. Yes, in the past you shared that there was hemorrhoids and you're wondering if it could be a sign and symptom of lupus. It can be. Let's discuss to everyone who's listening, what exactly is lupus? It is an autoimmune disease when the body cells themselves can attack the other cells of the organs, be it the kidneys, the brain, the lungs. It actually can attack healthy cells, and the range of signs and symptoms can be dramatic. From simple as a skin rash, most persons associate lupus to this butterfly kind of skin rash because you see it on the face, to a host of other signs and symptoms. One of those is pains in the joints and bleeding. So it may be the hemorrhoids recurring, and it may also be the lupus presenting in different ways. I don't believe it's related to the medications in any way, because those that you shared, the side effect is not bleeding from the back passage. This is why I know you said you have an upcoming appointment. I'd rather you go sooner rather than later. So if you can, today, tomorrow, the earlier the better. Because once you're seeing blood passing in the back passage, that bleed, hematochezia is what we call it, it means there's some area that's open, that's exposed, that can now become infected, be it the hemorrhoid, an open capillary, a blood vessel, something like that. If there's an infection in there, it's going to further complicate the system because of your lupus. An autoimmune disease already put the immune system in a weakened state. So let's today or tomorrow, sooner rather than later, get it checked out. Don't wait until your next appointment. And pay attention to the medication and what you may be eating to just get that extra support in terms of supporting the immune system. Hope that answers your question.
All right, folks, lunchtime, doctor. Let's take another call. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, doctor. Mr. Bees, good afternoon, doctor. My question is this. Well, I'd like to find out if secondhand smoke of marijuana is dangerous to health.
Very good question. So yes, the same way secondhand smoke of cigarettes are dangerous because they still have the tars, the nicotine, and in fact there's something called third-hand smoke where the smoke particles remain on our clothes, remain on the linens, remain on the curtains. It's still easy to inhale that, be it by our loved ones or children. So yes, secondhand smoke of marijuana is also dangerous to your health.
Didn't even know that about third-hand smoking.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. 627-3223, 625-2257. Lunchtime doctor with the kind compliments of Super Farm. Hello, good afternoon.
My blessed godly teacher. Please welcome back, right?
Thank you, sir.
Well, so, doc, so I deal with a lot of passengers or something, eh? I notice when I open sometimes, a passenger will say, do I stop by coffee? I want to get my soul drink. I say, boy, that ain't good, but it's still no, that ain't good. It's that energetic thing. They say, I have to drink it. They say, I have to drink it because my sugar low. I say, well, if your sugar low, you put in more sugar in your blood. That makes sense. You say, yes, that's what I have to do. Doc, can I explain this to us? Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. Good question. So yes, we do have our diabetic patients going through hypoglycemic, where the sugar values, your glucose values, go lower than usual. However, I will never recommend any sort of cola or soft drink as that replacement when one feels that sugar value is going low. If you can get any sort of fruit juice, that is better. Coconut water is the absolute best. You can even use normal water. Sometimes what we empower all of our diabetics to work with is that little glucose tab. It has a very specific amount of glucose and they can actually take that. It dissolves right under the tongue and it returns their sugar values to the normal. How do they know if they're experiencing hypoglycemia? Here's how it happens. One may take the medications and not get time to eat. One may take the insulin and not eat on time again. So it can have that drop of the glucose within the body. That's why we always recommend have your meals first and then 10 to 15 minutes after, that's when you're having your insulin or your glucose medication. So yes, one can experience hypoglycemia where the sugar goes low, but I'm not a fan of recommending the soda. So you can certainly tell them, just have a normal water or have a natural juice. Anything like that is healthier. Hope that answers your question.
All right, let's go to the WhatsApps here. My grandmother has dentures in her mouth and she likes to eat and have lots of ice. Is that okay? If not, what should I do?
So that's fairly okay. However, just keep in mind, after a while, the ice can indeed, if it gets trapped within the dentures, if in the crushing of it, it could displace the denture. But here's what I'm concerned about with any patient who's telling me they're eating ice. There's a condition called pica. I'm wondering if you all know that. Here's what that is. Pica is when someone is crunching or actually craving ice. That actually means their blood count is low. So they have anemia. So anyone who is craving ice or really have this indulgence for ice, please make sure they get their hemoglobin checked.
Somebody asking about those are flavored waters, like the cranberry flavored waters, are those good to drink?
Well, they're fairly okay. I utilize one of those cran waters all the time. Any of your drinks, here's what I want you all to do. Get accustomed to turn it to the back and look at your nutrition values. You will look at the amount of sugars, you'll look at the amount of calories. Once your amount of sugars is under 12 grams, 11 grams, then you're good to go. You may see some of those drinks, all sorts of 27, 33, 40 something grams. Your total amount of sugar for the day, for women, it tends to be around that 24 grams, and men tends to be about 30 grams. So you want your total sugars to be less. The cran water is fairly okay. I utilize it all the time. In fact, there's one with a little bit of fizz and vitamin C in it, and it's one of my faves. So yes, but just make sure you're checking what the nutritional values say.
All right. Good afternoon to you both. I would like to know if taking insulin daily increases your cholesterol level. Thanks very much.
Very good question. So most of our diabetics, when they become insulin dependent, they definitely on insulin every day. No, it does not impact upon the cholesterol value to increase it. What tends to impact on that cholesterol value is what we eat, obviously, and something we don't consider, what I started talking about here, stress. Because stress will elicit the cortisol value and that will directly impact upon our cholesterol. So what we eat, our stress levels, our activity levels will all impact on our cholesterol level.
All right, folks, you're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor. Don't forget, tomorrow we're going to be live at Super Farm out there in Valsaint. So come out and get your questions. We're live on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangit 106.1, Sky 99.5 and Vibe City 105 FM. Our numbers are 627-3223-625-2257. As we just had that insulin question there and cholesterol about diabetes, I was lady, she was on the phone and she was on just before she went on the plane and she was talking about she can't get her cholesterol, her numbers down at all. It always going up to 200, you know, she's diabetic and stuff. She was in a wheelchair. Is there any advice?
Oh, definitely. Now, first thing I always tell them, because what patients tend to want is they start the medication, they want the values to go down tomorrow, next week. It takes at least 6 to 8 weeks of action.
Okay.
But you may start medications and then you're sabotaging with what you eat.
Right.
And they're hidden sugars. Mm-hmm. They're hidden cholesterol in all sorts of things. Let's see. Over this weekend, we went out and one of my friends are having a nice salad. Salad was explicit. Well done. But then they take the sauces and add it all over it. Water it down, in fact. So that's just a whole lot of sugars and a whole lot of saturated fats. So you may think you're doing the healthy thing and then sabotaging yourself. So to that person, here's how we want you to get that cholesterol value down. And I know it not only from the hundreds of thousands of patients I've seen, but with my own cholesterol. I've shared to you all that both my parents are on that diabetes spectrum, hypertensive. So that means my genetic makeup is already predisposing me to high blood pressure, cardiovascular disease, and diabetes. So I have to watch my numbers. I have to watch the numbers of my family. So what do? I make sure I balance what I eat. You see this, that thing called saturated fats, fried foods, processed foods, that has a lot of cholesterol. So if we can gently reduce that or cold turkey it, even better, you will bring it down.
Good advice there, Doc. 627-3223, 625-2257. Lunchtime doctor right here. Let's take a call. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hello.
You're live on air. Good afternoon, yeah. Dr. Mohammed here.
Last week you talked about the hair implant.
Mm-hmm.
Can I have a number for the doctor, please?
I won't be able to give you a number just like that on live air. But certainly, they are indeed on social media. They've been reviewed. I actually did an interview with them as well. Well-established team, right? A husband and wife team. So just to let everyone know, you can do, for those who are having alopecia, you can actually have that hair implant. Here's what I suggest. When you see your GP or you have a conversation with your dermatologist, they certainly will be able to make that recommendation. Sorry, I couldn't be of more help there.
Okay, thank you.
Let's go live again with another call. Line 2, hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you, doctor, for your dedication. My HDL is 96. My LDL is 113. I'm wondering, why would my HDL be so high? I'm 62 and I exercise 3 times a week. Could you advise me why is it so high? What do I do to bring it down?
So this is such a good question. Here's what we need to understand. And I did have this conversation right here on live air where we broke down the types of cholesterol, the good and bad cholesterol. When you told me your HDL is 96, I was jumping for joy in the studio here because that's what we want. We want a higher HDL. That's your good cholesterol. Because you're exercising so often, you have that good cholesterol. Cholesterol is actually important, but of course, within normal ranges, within a balanced range. And why is it important? It helps support the cell structures. It helps support building blocks of our bodies. So that HDL at 96 is a good place. The LDL, which is now considered the one that can lead to the stroke or the heart attack, anything under 120 milligrams per deciliter is A-OK. And at your value of 113, you're doing pretty fine. So continue with your exercise, continue with your right eating habits, and you will continue to maintain a good cholesterol value. Hope that answers your question.
All right, let's go to the art. Let's take this call. Hello, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon. I just wanted to find out how dark chocolate is. If it, what is good for your heart, the cholesterol, and if milk could make you get high cholesterol.
Very good questions. Now, let's talk about this dark chocolate. And I don't want anyone to go and say Dr. Mohammed recommended dark chocolate, but it's one of my personal favorites. If I have to have chocolate, I'll choose the dark chocolate. Why? Because yes, it actually has a number of health benefits. That's my little go-to. Here's why. Because it has a powerful source of antioxidants. It does help with your cholesterol levels. It actually helps with that oxidative process and increases that HDL, reducing the LDL. But of course, you're not eating the whole bar. We're just having a couple blocks. But it's a nice little snack. Most persons actually, they may grate the dark chocolate and add it into their salad. So you get a little flavoring there. We do. We must have that little bit of balance in life. Everything in moderation. Something else you just asked specifically specifically, not just about the dark chocolate, but getting that cholesterol on track. I'm really glad the previous caller asked about the values, because you recognize one may get the result from the healthcare professional or from the lab, and they may not have had the time to go through it with you all. Here's why this program helps. Feel free, send us in your numbers and we will help you dissect those numbers. If it's one thing Dr. Mohammed wants you all to know, is your numbers, your glucose numbers, your HbA1c, your cholesterol and your blood pressure.
All right, let's go to the WhatsApps here. Somebody sent a voice. Good afternoon, doctor. What causes heel spurs to pain as you awake in the morning? I limp around for a while as it eases up.
So it may not only be the heel spurs that is causing that pain. It may be some level of neuropathy, because as you awake and you're stepping your feet down, that pain, the nerve endings that are damaged, will unfortunately have been affected. Heel spurs on the whole, where that calcium deposits are happening, could be impinging on the nerves. What do you need to do? Sooner rather than later, you're presenting to your healthcare professional, even a podiatrist, a physiotherapist. They will go through some of those exercises for the feet, or some may even have it at home. There are these nice little mats with different indentations, there are the rolls, there are different socks, compression socks. All of that will specifically help heel spurs. In terms of getting rid of that pain, what you need to do is also incorporate either massages, we talked about the stretches, and NSAIDs. So the medical management is your non-steroidal anti-inflammatory. But it's so important, because it's heel spurs are actually calcium deposits, you also want to be watching what you eat. Now let me just reiterate, most heel spurs tend to be painless. If you're experiencing pain, it's most possibly the neuropathy or plantar fasciitis, which is now an inflammation, an inflammatory condition of part of the tendon under that heel. So please take that next step, get it checked out. It's very treatable. Hope that answers your question.
All right, let's take a call here. Hello, good afternoon.
Thanks again. That chocolate is a pain for your heart. The problem is the sugar content, which reminds me of post cleaner artery, the spike the sugar. Well, she's moving it in it. Doctor never went back to the health center and to do a sugar test. They took a finger, right? And his reading, he carries his monitor, right? Acute check, that is name of the acute check. And his one read at the same time, fasting FBS, at the same time. So he carries his, and his one read, 93. And the health center one read, 150. That is the most funny thing ever. I can't believe it. We listen, okay? Thanks a lot.
That is so concerning, because that is a huge discrepancy of over 40 points milligram per deciliter. Here's some things that may or may not be the reason for the inaccurate blood check. Sometimes if not enough blood sample is within the needle or within the monitor itself, it may give a wrong reading. I really can't say why there's that 40 points of a difference. It definitely, we need probably either one of the machines need to be recalibrated. It may be the patient's one, it may even be the health center one. What I would definitely suggest is a third reading happens and just see where it aligns. But anytime you're getting such a discrepancy, a recalibrate is necessary.
All right, folks, once again, you're listening to the Lunchtime Doctor. We go till 1 o'clock. Remember, tomorrow, Lunchtime Doctor will be live at Super Farm at Valsan. You're on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sky 99.5, Sangin 106.1, and, of course, Vive City 105 FM. Hello, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Doctor.
You're live on air. Good afternoon, Dr. Yes, Mohammed, yeah?
Doc, I'm having a problem. My mouth, my throat, my lips, everything dry.
Mm-hmm.
I cold sweat at night and day. Could you give me a little advice?
Definitely. Now, hold on the line. Have you ever been checked for diabetes or high blood pressure?
I am not a diabetic.
Very good. I'm glad to hear that.
I control my pressure.
Okay. Now, what we do know is that with that dry mouth, it could be a periodontal disease, like a gingivitis, seeing that it's most likely not diabetes. You said you've been checked for that. We do see that with our diabetic patients. They tend to have dry lips, dry sides of the gums, but it could also be that gingivitis causing that dry mouth. But there are other little things that can also cause a dryness of your mouth. Some of the medications one may use for their blood pressure management can also affect the salivary gland production. And that's why it's important when you experience these signs and symptoms, you let your healthcare professional know. We'd also like to just rule out any autoimmune like Sir John syndrome, etc., just to make sure it's not something a little more sinister. But if you
and sweating night and day,
yeah. So that one, it is associated to perimenopausal symptoms, or as you move forward in the menopausal age, that is something that unfortunately the hormonal changes in the body affects those sweating glands. So here's what you do: wherever you can, as much as possible, you're keeping yourself cool, but you must keep yourself hydrated. Antiperspirant will certainly help. I want to just return to that dry mouth. It's a symptom that's very general, but most persons take it very lightly. We mentioned that autoimmune disease, and we mentioned to rule out diabetes. But something that's very treatable is that gingivitis or a yeast infection called thrush. So let's make sure you take one step forward and just go get it checked. Have that conversation with your healthcare professional. Remember, this is not a medical conversation, a medical checkup here. This is just a little 1-3 minute checkup. You know, based over the weekend, we did our outreach all the way in the River Mayaro. So that Manzalana stretch, I did it over this weekend. But at that outreach, we had council members. We had over 50 members from 12 different regions and councils right in Nariva Mayaro. So hello to everyone in that Nariva Mayaro. They shared that they tune into the Lunchtime Doctor. They listen, they take the advice. But at that outreach, a couple of our male attendees, there's the health center right next to where we were, and they said they've been procrastinating, putting it off. You know, we have these signs and symptoms. We go with it, we bear with it, until it becomes really overwhelming, and then they go to the health center. But to all who are listening, if anything, I want to empower you to do, if you seek attention to your signs and symptoms early on, you may not need to have long-stay medications. Your course, your treatment can be less. All that is great things towards getting treated early.
All right, beautiful, good advice. And I'm sure, especially lots of men.
You know, let's not segregate. Okay. Busy professionals like myself, busy moms like myself, we deprioritize our health. So let's just say everyone. Let's blanket everyone.
Okay. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Doc. I was in a event carrying with a quick biscuit and bread.
So I didn't hear you quite clearly. I'm so sorry. Yeah. Tell me, can you repeat?
The difference is calories between crisp biscuit and bread.
Okay, so yes. I heard Crisp
biscuit and bread.
We wouldn't be calling the names here on radio. But is there calories in that particular meal? Certainly. If, however, you want to make it healthy, it have the multigrain versions of both those biscuits and bread. I didn't get all of the question. My apologies. Now, here's something based that persons really loved about the Super Farm engagement. Persons who attended came, sat with the doctor and ask their questions live on air. Mm-hmm. And they really appreciated that interaction. So tomorrow, we are at Superfarm Valsane between 12 to 1. You can come a little earlier because there's a whole lot of engagements, a few giveaways happening. Make sure and come and join us at Superfarm Valsane for your lunchtime doctor.
All right, let's get a question here. Hi, good day, doc. I'm a 56-year-old female. Last month, I went to the washroom and one day I passed blood in my stool. It was bright and red. Should I go to the doctor and have it checked out? It was one time only.
That's okay. So if it happened one time, that just means there's something in there that may bleed, be it a polyp, be it a hemorrhoid. Anytime I hear about bleeding, active bleeding, so bright red blood means active bleeding. Please, yes, get it checked out. If it happened once, it can happen again. Here's what can also happen, and I want you all to pay close attention. Yes, I'm going to be talking about the color of your stool. Normal color of stool tends to be brown. If you're noticing the stool is black and tarry looking, that's actually blood products combined into your stool, and you may be bleeding high up. So the first time you might see the active red blood with the stool, the next time you might notice if there's blood, but the stool color is black and tarry, that's actually bleeding happening in your gut, and we want you to get that checked out. I don't know if it's a male, I don't know if it's a female, but we have a high incidence of colorectal cancer in our Afro population here in Trinidad and Tobago. And colorectal cancer, unfortunately, has a good prognosis if we can pick it up early. But unfortunately, persons can pass away from colorectal cancer. So blood in the stool, get that checked out. It might be something simple, very treatable, like hemorrhoids, piles, as most persons like to say. It may be a polyp, but don't wait for another one to get it checked out. Hope that answers your question.
Yeah, and it was a 56-year-old female. And right. Can you explain the difference between a hemorrhoid and a polyp?
Easy. So a hemorrhoid is where there's a tear, and the tear now causes an abrasion or some sort of scar. The polyp, it can actually be cancerous. Okay. And polyp is an actual growth outside of the mucosa itself.
Okay.
So that's a little bit of a difference. Of course, it takes an investigation. We'll need to check. We'll need to probably do a digital rectal exam or a scope, because the polyps can go all throughout the entire gut, whereas hemorrhoids are just around the perianal area.
All right. Let's take a call here. 627-3223, 625-2257. Hello, good afternoon. Lunchtime, doctor. Welcome.
Yes, good afternoon.
Yes.
Little proper question and answer, right? I didn't hear the whole thing. Is concerning the insulin, right?
Mm-hmm.
I overheard the doctor say about 15 minutes after your eat. Is that correct?
So what we said is you want to take your medications alongside your insulin. Some persons take their insulin first and then they may not eat right away. So you can either eat and take your insulin, or if you take your insulin right away, then you're eating following. What seems to be the question? Tell me.
Yeah, because the prescription I get is recommended half an hour before you eat.
That's okay as well, but we want you to not start. So we said a 15 to 20 minutes. Half an hour is just about the same thing. What we want you to do is don't take that insulin and then forget to eat. Because within that time frame, that half an hour, persons might go get busy and unfortunately forget to eat. And yes, I've seen that with many patients. So we tend to say 15 to 20 minutes, use that window instead. It's about the same, just a matter to protect yourself from hypoglycemic attacks. Hope that answers your question.
Yeah, I just wanted to know if I was doing it wrong.
You're doing the right thing, but if you're within the half an hour, you're going ahead and eating, that's fantastic.
Yeah, all right, bye.
Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to the lunchtime, doctor.
Sorry to call back again, but you're really educational.
stem cell treatment for diabetic, Doc? Stem cell treatment for diabetic, is it? What do you think about it?
So yes, there is indeed. Stem cells can be used not only for diabetics, can be used for cancer, can be used for just about any sort of disease process. Because here's why. Your stem cells are like your body's raw materials. That's what puts together all of the other cells. Whether that is available here in Trinidad, the cost of it would be exorbitant. But it's very much available across the world, and it's something being studied more and more. Hope that answers your question.
Thank you very much.
Now, tomorrow on CNC3 Morning Brew, you can join myself as your co-host with Jason at around that 7:30, 7:40 time. Tomorrow we'll be discussing what's in our Health Plus, because it is World Mental Health Day. Yes, every day is a day to attend to our mental health. But what's important to know that anyone can have these mental health, these cognitive health concerns at any given point in time. Here's what we want you all to know, and it's in our Health Plus tomorrow in your Guardian. We shared some of these warning signs, because one may be experiencing depression, one may be experiencing anxiety, but then it may go a step further where the depression can now lead to one may succumb to suicide. And that is one of the things that is very preventable. But in the last couple of years, we've seen those numbers escalate right here in Trinidad. Base, you read the story about one of our lovely police officers who unfortunately, she succumbed to suicide.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, story. And it's, you know, the pressures, the mental burdens, our frontline officers, all healthcare professionals, service providers, anyone in stress, high stress levels, they have to endure, and they may not have an outlet to de-stress. In your Guardian tomorrow, we talked about this mental health checkup and your toolkit, how to action your distraction tool, your action tool, your thinking tool, your relaxation tool. We even gave the numbers for if you're noticing someone with these warning signs, what to do. So all of that and more in your CNC3 Morning Brew segment around 7:40 and in your Guardian Health Plus tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, whenever suicide comes up, I think about people, because sometimes there are people out there and we think they're walking around okay, but they're not.
No.
You know, you think of people like Robin Williams, who was a comedian.
Who was a comedian.
Andrew Bourdain, who life was to go around all
the
these
world.
Exotic places, eating food, something we would all dream about doing, and he committed suicide, huh?
You know, and that we need to really destigmatize it.
Yeah.
There is no face to what is a depressed person.
Right.
There's no face to what is someone who is experiencing such extremes of emotions.
True.
And we also need to understand that while someone may have an outlook, a face, that may be a hidden face, a mask for what they're really experiencing. So you never know what is that last straw that can break the camel's back, so to say. Wherever we can, express a kind word. If you as a person experiencing overwhelm, distress, know it's okay to not feel okay. Take that pause. And I'll be the first to admit, especially having worked in an intense environment in the ICU, we had to schedule times to just take that pause, to recognize when the burden was a lot. In fact, all research right now is showing that healthcare professionals are going through a post-pandemic, post-traumatic stress because they would have witnessed so many persons losing lives. And that's not what we went to medicine lives. So let us all know, every single person can be at risk. In your Guardian tomorrow, we talked about those. Well, there are many tips, but I just discussed five. Setting aside time. Not getting yourself overwhelmed in too much social media. Social media is a huge concern for our teenagers as well. Because they get so engaged in getting these likes, in getting this interaction.
Yeah.
Not recognizing there isn't that instant instant approval.
Right. Instant,
you know?
Gratification.
Instant gratification, as you were looking for.
Yeah.
You know, we really need to pay attention to our mental health.
Yeah, but you put up something and get five likes. Some people get depressed on that, yes?
And our teenagers,
yeah.
take that seriously. Yeah. In fact, that's what World Health Organization said, that suicide, and this is something that it's always difficult to talk about, but we must talk about it, is the fourth leading cause of death among our 15 to 19 year olds. Yeah.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines, folks. 627-3223, 625-2257. Lunchtime Doctor with the kind compliments of Super Farm. Good afternoon.
Presenter, Doctor, pleasant good afternoon. Doctor, I want to find out something. Beside being breastfed, the baby being the beside being breastfed, what milk you could recommend for newborn babies? I will listen off there. Thanks again for the opportunity.
Very good question. I'm not going to go into recommendation of adjuvant medication, adjuvant milks, because what is recommended by World Health Organization is indeed breast milk for the first 4 to 6 months of baby's life. If the baby needs fortification or supplemental feeds, because for some reason or the other, the mom is not able to commit to that extensive breast milk, and that's okay as well. The pediatrician will make that recommendation. There are different milks for preterms. There are different milks for different babies of different circumstances. So if the mom was a diabetic throughout her pregnancy, we would actually give some advice on a different fortifying formula. But all in all, we always prefer the recommendation of breast milk for the first 4 to 6 months. It can be a trying time for most moms. Say the moms who have had a C-section, they may not have that time to get the baby to get to do the proper latching and proper breastfeeding. Continuous trying, they may need to express the milk, always helps keep you on track. But have that conversation with the pediatrician, because it's not something that I would recommend on air in terms of giving that endorsement for formula milk. Hope that answers your question.
Lunchtime Doctor, let's get some calls. Go back to the WhatsApp messages a little bit. All right. I was losing weight and did a blood test, CBC, ESR. Mm-hmm. I was told I had, they put H. pylori.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and was given antibiotics. Can you tell me if I will be cured of this bacteria?
So let's talk about this H. pylori. That is what causes GERD. It is indeed something that will be curable. It's probably you're on that triple factor, or that's what we call it, where it's different medications for a specific time. And yes, it will resolve. But unfortunately, if there is H. pylori within the stomach and you're already at risk of GERD, gastroesophageal reflux disease, we must watch our nutritional habits. Again, our stress levels, how you're sleeping, because all of that could worsen the presentation of the H. pylori within your system. Hope that answers your question.
Right, here's another one. Good afternoon, Doctor. Is it true that rice could make your diabetes go high? If so, could you tell me what is the brand of rice to eat?
So yes, rice, sugar, pasta. Why? They have a high glycemic index. When we say it makes your diabetes go high, it makes that sugar value exceed your normal ranges. So what we say, there's a glycemic rush after having rice. And you know, some people like to have rice lunch and dinner every single day. Especially if you're diabetic, that needs to be a no-no. Switch it out. If you really must have rice, try the whole grain. There's that parboiled as well. But switch it out. We may not need to have that much rice in our system, or smaller portions. And of course, you want to balance in the portions of protein and fruits and vegetables.
What about brown rice and this basmati rice?
See, all of them have a high glycemic index. Your brown rice is a little healthier.
Yeah.
Your basmati rice a little healthier than your white rice.
Okay.
But always stick to small portions.
All right. Good afternoon, Doctor. Calories, content, as you person call about the biscuit and the bread.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's another one. Doctor, is it true? Another rice one. Let me see what up here again. All right. Hi, Doc and host. My head hurts. I don't feel dizzy, but at times my head feels funny. I am 62. My blood pressure reading is good. I am not diabetic. What must I do?
So right away, I'm happy you told me about your blood pressure and your diabetes values all in order. Let's get your eyes checked. As we get wiser, because you all know I don't like to say as we get older, as we get wiser, there are different changes that happen in our body, especially in our eyes. And one may not connect headaches to your vision, but that's the first sign and symptom that one may present with. So please, get your eyes checks. A good additional check is that thyroid value. Again, you may have hypothyroid, hyperthyroid, and all of that may unfortunately affect the brain. You may present with headaches. How are you sleeping? Those are some of the questions I'm concerned about. Poor sleeping habits. If you're having too much screen time or TV time just before you go to sleep, you may wake up in the morning with headaches. You know, there's so many habits. And some of them I'm also guilty of. I had to make a concerted effort during the pandemic to put my phone outside of the room because you're always checking the numbers. You're always checking different things and the updates. And I realized that I'm 10 minutes before I fall asleep, my eyes are glued to my digital screen.
Yeah.
And I myself was having a lot of headaches. Then I recognized, I'm doing this to myself, self-sabotage. So let's just do our own little stock check of what we can do with our daily habits.
All right. 627-3223, 625-2257. You have about 8 minutes, so let's squeeze in as many
We're
calls
We're down
as
to
possible.
The last couple minutes.
All right.
Yes, let's see if you have any more calls on the line.
All right, let's get this one here. See line 2, 627-3223, 625-2257. If not, we'll go back to a WhatsApp message here. What is this one? All right, let's take this call. Hello, good afternoon. Hello?
Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
Yes, Doc. To begin with, what color chocolate are we supposed to be?
So chocolates tend to be brown. In any case, you can have your white chocolate, you may have your brown chocolate, you may have your dark brown chocolate. All in all, check your sugar values, okay? Hope that answers your question.
What I'm saying, there's nothing like white chocolate. Chocolate is always brown.
Right.
Anytime you see white, it's because they extract everything off it.
True. Definitely. But they do have that white chocolate. It may not be the healthiest ones. Like I said, the dark chocolate are the ones that I recommend.
Well, that's what I know it is about.
Have a good day. Thanks so much for your input.
All right. Another call here. Hello, good afternoon.
Oh, finally. Good day. Thank you. Doc, how do you write to the flour? You know, you have a proper mix for the flour with different ingredients to make your roux or your bread. How would you compare both? Which is the better one to use?
Good question. Both of them, rice and flour, both of them have high glycemic indices. If you're diabetic and you can stay away from it or reduce your input, I would be very happy. And I won't be able to give you a recommendation of which rice over which or which flour over which, but you can simply turn to the back, check your nutritional values. Hope that answers your question.
All right, let's go with this one here. Hey, Doc, can an enlarged heart get to be normal? An enlarged heart.
So once someone is presenting with an enlarged heart, you may see it on the chest x-ray. Here's what we need to know a little more. An echo may be necessary because we need to know the anatomical structure of the heart. Where exactly is enlarged? Is it the left chamber? Is it the right chamber? What does that mean? You may be predisposed to heart failure. If it is the right side, then your lungs become compromised. If it's the left side, then your entire body, you may see swelling around the ankles. So yes, an enlarged heart is something we need to know a little bit more of. And yes, there is indeed medical treatment and then surgical treatment.
Last one here. Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, hello again. I didn't finish this. Hello?
Yes, go ahead, miss. Speak up a little bit, please.
I'm calling for two people. Tiny growth in the eye. Is there a lip that you can treat it? Anything you can treat it in the early stages, Doc?
So thank you so much for calling, but we're not hearing you clearly. I did hear growth to the eye. Yes, there are treatments. Present to your healthcare professional. Most of them may actually be treatable right there in the clinic, depending on the size of the growth. However, I want you all to know, sometimes there may be some cholesterol deposits right at the base of the eye. Xylanthans, those are actually a level of high cholesterol in your body. So anything you're seeing presenting around your eye, must get it checked out. Now, we want to just remind all of our listeners, where are we tomorrow? We're at Superfarm Valsane. Why? Because we're doing an outreach at that particular Superfarm where we're welcoming all of you to join us. You can chat with myself live on air or right after the program. So we'll be there between 12 to 1, Superfarm Valsane, for your lunchtime doctor.
All right, I see another call coming here. We do have a lot of WhatsApp messages. We will get through with them. Well, I'll try to say tomorrow, but we're not here tomorrow. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Okay, sir.
Two little quick questions for the doctor. Doctor, can you say what are some of the proportions of coconut water? That's one. And two, lifestyle diseases, which is very common in our country. Lack of exercise, can you say if that can be a contributing factor? Because people do like to exercise. Thank you.
You're very, very correct. Yes, people really don't like to exercise, and it is a significant contributor to non-communicable diseases. What do we do? People underestimate what exactly is exercise, you know. If you have the option to use steps, that's counting steps. If you have the option every day to go outside and just walk a little bit, or nurture your garden, if you can put a little bit more exercise in there so that you move from mild exercise to moderate level, you can do active running, you can include some weights, you can include some yoga. There are a host of different exercises, swimming, cycling. All of that is going to give you a better, happier, more productive life. Over the weekend, we also did this lovely walk all the way up to Chancellor. Base, when is the last time you went to the top of Chancellor Hill?
Shaking my head.
Well, you know what? No. I'm going to dare you. Before the end of the year, uh-huh. I want you to do that walk.
Okay. All,
you can choose Fort George, Chancellor, or Bamboo Cathedral.
Wow.
Clocking those steps.
All right, okay.
Right. My son doing it, okay? Right.
Yeah, very good. Very good. But I do a lot of steps. Like, remember, I walk, so
yes.
I do those at least 5,000 steps a day.
Fantastic. Steps that are flat is excellent. Yeah. When you get that elevation, however, putting that little bit of strain or that exertion on the heart, and that's where that cardiac build really comes into play. Mm. A little bit, once a week, once a month, try.
Yeah, I will try.
So we're down to the last couple of minutes.
Yes, we have one ready for one. Last call. Hello, good afternoon.
We give you a little joke before I go down. I do 5 steps a day, Doc.
No, not acceptable.
I need to step up.
I'm not taking your call if you're saying 5 steps. Here's what the normal is. So what do we want? We want at least, as you mentioned, 4,000 to 6,000 steps.
Right, yes.
So that 5,000 is a good marker. That's a real good marker. Mm-hmm. If you can get 10,000 steps within the course of the week.
When I travel, I do like 18,000.
Exactly.
20,000 steps.
Yeah. Yes. Carnival time. You know how many steps people do?
Yeah, boy.
20,000 steps plus. Mm. So if you could do it at carnival in 2 days, you can do it otherwise.
True, for real. All right, folks. So we're wrapping up just about 30 seconds. Once again, tomorrow, we'll be at Valsane. Right? Superfarm in Valsane. Looking forward to it.
We're so ever appreciative of all these calls, all this engagement. You all know I love you all. Keep doing the right things healthy. We want you to be a healthy, active Trinidad and Tobago. Join us tomorrow. You'll be able to meet me. And of course, I will be able to do a host of other things right there at Superfarm. Couple giveaways as well. My appreciation to you all, our callers, our listeners, all across Trinidad and Tobago. Our sponsors, Superfarm, the Prescription Trust, Cetaphil, who makes this program happen for you. And of course, our dynamic team right here at TBC that have all the nuts and bolts and make it happen for you all, our listeners.
Thank you very much, Doc. Of course, you've been listening to the Lunchtime Doctor, folks, right here on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sky 99.5, Vibe City 105 FM, and Sangeet 106.1. With the kind compliments of Super Farm, do enjoy the rest of your day.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.